Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 1. And he causeth me to turn back the way of the gate of the outer sanctuary that is looking eastward, and it is shut. In the last chapter, it ended with Ezekiel in the upper inner sanctuary where the altar is, and he was describing the altar, which is really large. It's so large that the priests would have to walk up steps to get to the top of it. And now the Lord has taken Ezekiel out of the outer gate, and he is facing the outer gate, looking toward it. So Ezekiel is facing west, but he's on the east side of the Temple Mount area. I had struggled back and forth with what temple this was, and in the last chapter, it became clear that this temple is a blueprint for what the Lord wants the Israelites to build when they return back to Israel 70 years after Jerusalem falls under the Babylonians, because that will be the completion of their exile. And the Lord is giving Ezekiel the blueprints for how he wants the second temple built. It's supposed to be over a mile long on each side of the four walls. But when they actually did go back and rebuild it under King Cyrus's time, they made it a lot smaller. However, the altar they made was very large. It was almost the size of the altar in this vision. So King Herod's altar was a really huge altar that you had to walk up steps to get to the top. So that may have been the one area where they could easily replicate what Ezekiel's vision prescribed, whereas they didn't have the faith to replicate how large the wall was supposed to be. 2. And Jehovah saith unto me, this gate is shut, it is not opened, and none doth go in by it, for Jehovah, God of Israel, hath come in by it, and it hath been shut. The Lord says that his presence is inside the gate, and that's why the gate is shut. No person can go in there, and that's because he's holy and we are not. Holiness to us is like vinegar to a gnat. As soon as the gnat gets close enough to the vinegar, it will die. We have all sinned, so we cannot even touch God. We cannot even look at him in our natural state because of his purity. The gate is shut partly for the preservation of the people. This is a vision, but when God inhabited the first temple that Solomon built, when he filled it with his glory on that dedication day, nobody could go in that space where the Lord was. Now in Ezekiel's vision, the same thing is happening. Today there are a lot of prosperity preachers who claim that they can walk in the glory cloud. But in the Bible, all throughout the Old Testament, whenever the glory cloud appears, nobody can approach it or touch it because it's too holy. 3. The prince, who is prince, he sitteth by it to eat bread before Jehovah. By the way of the porch of the gate he cometh in, and by its way he goeth out. I believe that prince here refers to high priest, because there are princes of the Israelites, and the high priest, in a sense, would have ranking like a prince. He would be like the prince over the temple representing Jesus Christ. I don't think it means Jesus Christ, because this is a temple where sacrifices are made for hundreds of years before Christ comes and abolishes sacrifices. So it can't be Jesus. The high priest is sanctified through the cleansing rituals, the sacrifices that were made for his own sin, and the putting on of the high priest's garments that represent Jesus Christ. He would be sanctified to eat near the Lord's presence. 4. And he bringeth me in the way of the north gate unto the front of the house, and I look, and lo, filled hath the honor of Jehovah, the house of Jehovah, and I fall on my face. This is another thing that's common in the Bible. Whenever that cloud of glory fills the temple or appears anywhere, people fall on their faces because they cannot stand before the Lord. They're not holy. So Ezekiel fell on his face when he was near the glory of the Lord. The Lord has brought Ezekiel through the north gate, which is the gate on the right side, and taken him near the sanctuary, where the Lord has filled the sanctuary with his presence. 5. And Jehovah saith unto me, Son of man, set thy heart, and see with thine eyes, and with thine ears hear, all that I am speaking with thee, and all of the statutes of the house of Jehovah, and of all its laws, and thou hast set thy heart to the entrance of the house, with all the outlets of the sanctuary. The sanctuary is the house itself. The Lord wants Ezekiel to long for that sanctuary to be built again in Jerusalem. And he also wants Ezekiel to remember every single detail that the Lord has shown him and taught him in this vision, which is the blueprint for the second temple. However, when they made the second temple, they did not follow this blueprint completely. And maybe that's why scholars and myself struggled with identifying what temple this is. This was supposed to be the second temple, but the second temple clearly was not this grand. 6. And hast said unto the rebellious, unto the house of Israel, Thus said the Lord Jehovah, Enough to you of all your abominations, O house of Israel. At this time the Israelites were still sinning. Jerusalem had already fallen to the Babylonians, and many of the Israelites were either killed or taken as slaves into the nations of Babylon. But they were taken as sinners, and in Babylon they were most likely continuing to have sinful hearts and worship pagan gods. And the Lord is still telling them to repent, and he'll keep telling them that for the next 70 years during the appointed time of their captivity. 7. In your bringing in sons of a stranger, uncircumcised of heart and uncircumcised of flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, in your bringing near my bread, fat and blood, and they break my covenant by all your abominations. The Israelites had sinned so badly that not only had they brought in false gods and set them up in the temple, but they also gave those demon idols provisions that were supposed to be given to the Lord. And on top of that, the Israelites were allowing pagans who had no Israelite blood to come into the temple and help them practice pagan festivals. The temple was completely defiled, and that's why the Lord had it destroyed. That was Solomon's temple that the Lord is talking about. 8. And ye have not kept the charge of my holy things, and ye set them for keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for you. They did not properly steward all of the Lord's golden and brass instruments that were in the sanctuary and in the storage houses of the temple. They misused them by using them to create false idols and also to worship false idols. 9. Thus said the Lord Jehovah, No son of a stranger, uncircumcised of heart and uncircumcised of flesh, cometh in unto my sanctuary, even any son of a stranger who is in the midst of the sons of Israel. Anybody who is a non-Israelite is not allowed to ever enter the temple. The temple is only for his people. And the Lord says that these strangers, these pagans, are uncircumcised of heart and uncircumcised of flesh. The circumcision of the flesh represents repentance of sin. The foreskin holds in dirt and bacteria and diseases, so it cleanses the body when circumcision is done. But when you circumcise your heart, this is a spiritual act where we repent of our sins, and thus, spiritually, we are cleaner because we lose all the baggage that comes with sin. Circumcision of the flesh only represents circumcision of the heart. 10. But the Levites who have gone far off from me in the wandering of Israel when they went astray from me after their idols, and they have borne their iniquity. The Levites were supposed to be serving in the temple, teaching the people the commandments of God and helping the people to practice the Lord's commandments as well as his ordinances. But the Levites of Ezekiel's time practiced paganism themselves, and then they taught the people that it was okay to practice the ordinances of the Lord and still honor the pagan gods at the same time. So the people blasphemously were giving God sacrifices on one day, and then they were giving sacrifices to the pagan gods on another day, which included sacrificing and killing their own children for the demon gods. 11. And they have been in my sanctuary, ministrants, overseers at the gate of the house, and ministrants at the house. They slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they stand before them to serve. The Lord says the Levites' job is not to teach people to sin. It is to do the physical work required for the burnt offerings and to watch over the temple and make sure that people are obeying the Lord's commandments. The burnt offerings are the offerings of consecration, which means that we have fully dedicated our lives 100% to the Lord. 12. Because that they serve them before their idols and have been to the house of Israel for a stumbling block of iniquity, therefore I have lifted up my hand against them, an affirmation of the Lord Jehovah, and they have borne their iniquity. Iniquity means sin, and the Lord says that because of the sins of the Levites, the Lord has judged them. That's why a lot of them were killed or taken out of Babylon, and they themselves will never serve in the temple again. They will be in exile for 70 years, and by the time the new temple is created, they'll probably be dead. 13. And they have drawn not nigh unto me to act as my priests, and to draw nigh unto any of my holy things, unto the Holy of Holies, and they have borne their shame and their abominations that they have done. These sinning priests will never enter the temple again, and they will never approach the Holy of Holies again. They had actually gone into the Holy of Holies, which is the back part of the sanctuary where the Ark of the Covenant is, and they had gone in there and even defiled the area where the Ark of the Covenant was. 14. And I made them keepers of the change of the house for all its service and for all that is done in it. The Lord had appointed the Levites to take care of his sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, but they defiled it. They became the robbers of the sanctuary that they were supposed to be watching over. 15. And the priests, the Levites, sons of Zadok, who have kept the charge of my sanctuary in the wandering of the sons of Israel from off me, they draw near unto me to serve me and have stood before me to bring near to me fat and blood, an affirmation of the Lord Jehovah. Apparently, there were some Levites who continued worshiping the Lord and obeying his commands, and the Lord says that those few Levites are the ones who will serve him in the future. It's probably going to be their sons who return to Jerusalem after 70 years and serve in the second temple. 16. They come in unto my sanctuary, and they draw near unto my table to serve me, and have kept my charge. The Lord has a table. The Levites were commanded to eat in the Lord's presence, and these dining rooms are right next to the sanctuary, so that the Levites will be eating in his presence. 17. And it hath come to pass, in their going in unto the gates of the inner court, linen garments they put on, and no wool cometh up on them in their ministering in the gates of the inner court and within. Wool keeps you very warm, but it does allow your body to sweat, and the Lord is holy, and he wanted them to wear linen garments instead, because linen prevents you from sweating. The Lord thought of everything to make the priests as clean and comfortable and sanctified as possible. They had to wear the linen garments whenever they were in the inner court, which surrounds the sanctuary. But when they went back among the other people, then they were required to leave those holy clothes with the Lord in his presence and put on civilian clothes in order to go back and mix with the people. 18. Linen bonnets are on their head, and linen trousers are on their loins. They are not restrained with sweat. They had something similar to Bermuda shorts, and it was underwear that would keep them from sweating. The Lord prescribed this underwear because that way when they went up the steps to his altar, their privates would be covered. He didn't want anything unseemly around him. And this doesn't mean that God is a prude. It's just that in heaven, there's no marriage and there's no reproduction. We will become like the angels. The angels don't get married and they don't reproduce. And we'll be happier than we've ever been before. We will be fully complete in and of ourselves. There's nothing wrong with reproduction on this earth because the Lord commanded us to be fruitful and multiply the earth. But in heaven, we'll be at our full number. Our focus will be the Lord and serving him. They also were given linen bonnets for their head to keep their head from sweating. 19. And in their going forth unto the outer court, unto the people, they strip off their garments in which they are ministering, and have placed them in the holy chambers, and have put on other garments, and they do not sanctify the people in their own garments. When they go out to assist the people with the offerings, they are to wear civilian clothing, not the holy clothes that stay with the Lord up in the upper court. And they have chambers in the upper court to store their clothing. 20. And their head they do not shave, and the lock they do not send forth. They certainly poll their heads. Polling the head is when you cut your hair after it becomes so long that it's too long. You wrap the end of your hair around a pole and then you chop off what's left. They could not have a shaved head. They had to get a legitimate haircut. And that's what the Lord is saying. And this is because a shaved head means mourning, and you cannot mourn when you're in the Lord's presence. When Jesus was walking on this earth, his disciples were criticized for never fasting. And Jesus said, they can't fast when they're with me. This shows us that in heaven, we will not cry one tear and we will never be hungry or thirsty in heaven. There is food, but we don't eat it because we're hungry. We eat it simply for pleasure up in heaven. 21. And no priest doth drink wine in their coming in unto the inner court. This is to keep the priest from accidentally becoming tipsy or inebriated. God is holy, and he will not be approached in an inebriated state. Now, the priests were never to get drunk, but sometimes even a couple of sips of wine can kind of give you a buzz, and they could not have even a couple of sips of wine before entering into the Lord's presence. 22. And a widow and divorced woman they do not take to them for wives, but virgins of the seed of the house of Israel, and the widow who is widow of a priest do they take. The regular people who were not priests could marry a divorced woman, but the priests were not allowed to marry divorced women. They could only marry the widow of a Levite or a virgin. In this way, there would be absolutely no chance of them committing adultery with a woman. Now, all of these laws are also in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. The Lord is simply reminding Ezekiel and the future generations of his laws that he had already given them when Moses was alive. 23. And my people they direct between holy and common, and between unclean and clean they cause them to discern. The Levites were supposed to teach the people the difference between right and wrong, and the difference between God's law and the world's law. Even when people are living together, a lot of times a pastor won't confront them in a loving way and say, hey, you're living in sin and talk to them about it. He'll just still smile and shake their hand every Sunday and not say a word to them. But the Levites were commanded to teach people the difference between right and wrong. This doesn't mean screaming and threatening people, but if people only knew God's law, a lot of times they would choose to follow it. A lot of people sin out of ignorance because nobody taught them what God's law is. 24. And concerning controversy, they stand up for judgment. With my judgments, they judge it, and my law and my statutes, in all my appointed places, they keep, and my Sabbaths, they sanctify. He says they need to know how to make good judgments. If a man found another man's sheep, according to God's law, he cannot keep it, even if he found that sheep on a mountain far away from where the other neighbor lived. Now, by today's law, people would say finders keepers. But in God's law, the man is required to return it. So the only way you can make just judgments is if you know what the law is in the first place. He also says they are to keep his Sabbaths. In the New Testament, we're told that Jesus Christ is our Sabbath rest, which means every day is our Sabbath. The way we keep the Sabbath is by resting from religion and sin. So we don't practice religion and we don't practice sin. We can read the Bible and pray and go to church and do Christian activities, but we don't practice religion, which means we don't put our faith in any of those things. Our faith is only in Jesus Christ, and we don't assume that we're saved because we do religious activities. 25. And unto any dead man they come not for uncleanness, but for father and for mother and for son and for daughter, for brother, for sister, who hath not been to a man, they defile themselves. Ordinary people can pick up a dead body and bury it, and then they would have to go through a cleansing ritual before they could approach the temple. But the Lord said that the Levites were only allowed to bury a body if it was a near relative. But if it was a sister who had been married, then her husband's family is responsible for burying her, not the Levite. For the other members of the Levite's family, he could bury them, but he would still have to go through a cleansing ritual before returning to the temple. 26. And after his cleansing, 7 days they number to him. The cleansing ritual includes a waiting time, and that's because your skin sheds every day. First they would bathe, and then after 7 days of their skin shedding, then they would have clean, purified skin again, and they could go back to the temple. And 7 days is also a time of mourning for the dead, and it's also the Lord's number of completion. 27. And in the day of his coming in unto the sanctuary, unto the inner court to minister in the sanctuary, he bringeth near his sin offering, an affirmation of the Lord Jehovah. After the Levite has been away from the Lord for a while, out of his presence, he needs to bring a sin offering to cover his sin. And this is because we all have sin in our hearts that we need to repent of. The priests in the Old Testament did not have the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus alive in them to enable them to resist sinful desires. So even though they weren't sinning on the outside doing outward things, they may still have a very sinful heart that needs to be cleansed and forgiven. 28. And it hath been to them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance, and a possession ye do not give to them in Israel. I am their possession. The Lord is speaking of the Levites. The Levites were not allowed to be given real estate or money from a regular job because they worked full time for the Lord, so he was their source of income. He provided them with an allotment of land that they could live on, but it wasn't given their name. He gave them allotments of land in the other parts where the other tribes live. They didn't have their own Levite tribal territory because they spent so much time at the temple. and being in the presence of the Lord is a lot better than real estate. And they got fed through the temple sacrifices, so they didn't need to farm or anything like that, because some of the sacrifices were wine, some were oil, some were flour, some were fruits and grains. So they had a full diet from the food that came in through the temple sacrifices. The Lord didn't want them to double dip. He didn't want them to get an earthly inheritance and a spiritual inheritance at the same time. And that shows us that you and I should not be banking on getting an inheritance in this world. If we're looking to heaven, our inheritance is spiritual. 29. The present and the sin offering and the guilt offering they do eat, and every devoted thing in Israel is theirs. When something is devoted, it's given to the Lord completely. Hannah devoted her first son Samuel to the Lord because she was barren, and she said, if you give me a son, I will devote him to you. I'll give him right back to you. I just want to know that I had a son. And so he gave her Samuel, and then she went to the temple and gave Samuel to the Lord. His entire life was devoted to the Lord, and he served the Lord because of his mother's promise. And anything that was devoted belonged to the Levites. So Samuel went to work for Eli. Eli was a Levite in the temple, and Samuel became kind of like Eli's property or slave or son, whatever you want to call it. Samuel belonged to Eli until Eli died. 30. And the first of all the first fruits of all, and every heave offering of all your heave offerings are the priests, and the first of your dough ye give to the priest to cause a blessing to rest on my house. They always had to give first fruits, and this is because when we give the Lord from the top of our paycheck, that shows faith that we know that he is going to take care of all of our needs. 31. Any carcass and torn thing of the fowl and of the beasts, the priests do not eat, because the priests have to remain sanctified unto the Lord. They cannot touch anything that is decaying. They're not allowed to eat roadkill. And that concludes Ezekiel chapter 44. In the next chapter, there will be more laws and ordinances that God gives Ezekiel.